All right, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to kick off a brand new series this morning entitled God Is. And we're going to be talking about the nature and character of God for a few weeks here. So I want to jump right in. Today, God is love. Can you say that with me? God is love. 1 John 4:8 simply says, God is love. So when we talk about God and His love, we need to really bring definition to that, because the world has its own definition that is not true. But a godly love looks like this right here. It's agape love. The Greek word would be agape. And it is love that originates from the heart of God. Here is a hallmark of agape love. It is self-sacrificing. Self-sacrificing love. It puts others first. Love that puts everyone else above yourself is agape love. Now, I want you to look at those words. Think about that for a minute. As I continue through this message, you need to understand when the Bible says love in the context of what I'm teaching today, it is talking about agape, God-centered, self-sacrificing, putting others before you kind of love. Now, if you're a parent in the room today, you probably, above all else, understand agape love. Because when the children arrive, because you have been married and because you have joined yourself together, then children come. And in the right context, with your heart in the right place, to me, that is the best way to understand agape love, because you would give anything to take care of and for the welfare of and for the future of this child that God has given you. That's the way God loves us, and that's the way He doesn't just suggest, He commands us to love others the same way that He loves us. Now, you can hear that and go, oh my goodness, that's a little bit of a tall order from an almighty God to a little feeble person like me. But don't you remember, church, all the way since the beginning of this year, we've been speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit that has been put within you. So if God commands it, then it is possible for the believer, for the human being, to follow in. Now, it's not going to happen by accident. I'm not going to love you more than myself just by showing up in the space that you're in. I'm going to love you more than myself as I allow the Holy Spirit to take control. What did we say about Jesus? He submitted to the Father and He let the Holy Spirit work through Him. So the possibility of showing agape, pure-hearted, self-sacrificing, putting others first kind of love, it is not only possible, it is probable for the believer in Christ. Come on, let's move from maybe it's possible to I'm expecting, it's probable today that I will love people the way God loves me. 1 John 4 verse 9 says this, by this the love of God was manifested to us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. That's that whole concept of the Spirit of God in us, Christ in us. Verse 10, in this love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Now, that's a big old word, isn't it? Propitiate. Let me tell you what propitiate means. It means to remove the anger or wrath, to take away the punishment, to be the atoning sacrifice. So see, God's kind of love is action-oriented. God's kind of love is action-oriented. How do I know that? Because it says here that because God loved us, He sent His Son, and His Son was the action of God's love to the world. And what did He do? He became our substitute. He took the wrath of God. Listen, Jesus never sinned. Yet He took the punishment for all of our sins. Jesus never failed, yet he took the penalty for all of our failures. I love words. I don't know if y'all realize that. Some of you who know me well know that. And so I have this little deal. I get an email every day with the word of the day. And today's word just so happened it was expunge. What does that mean? To strike out, to obliterate, to mark for deletion, to destroy. You know what God did to my record? He expunged it. Woo-hoo! If you've ever had any legal troubles, you would love for your record to be expunged. What? Destroyed, taken away. It's not there anymore. When they pull up my name in the database, it doesn't say I was convicted of this or guilty of that. It says, I can't find anything against this guy. I want you to know I sat right over here. I stood here, tears streaming down my face during worship this morning because I just happened to look at my phone and I saw the word expunge and I knew what that meant. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, Brad, I took away your bad record. I expunged it. It's gone. You are free in my presence today. There's no guilt attached to me. There's no condemnation that I'm worthy of anymore. Did you hear what Julie said in the prayer? 80% of our thoughts are negative. That's because we cannot and have not yet received the truth that your record has been expunged. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And why are we able to say that? Because love is an action word. The love of God saw children of the world who were desperately in need of a Savior, and Jesus stood up beside him at the right hand and said, I'm your huckleberry. Send me down there. Let me go. I can't wait. I can't wait to redeem mankind. Jesus received a vision in that moment of your face and mine. And the love that was in him overwhelmed any kind of obstacle that would be between him coming and demonstrating the love of God. John 3:16, for God, so say it with me, loved the world and he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God's love is life-giving. When you walk away from the love of God, when you encounter the love of God today, you will never walk away feeling worse than you came. Listen, this is important. The world has a kind of love. In fact, let me say it this way. The world has a deception about love that says, come to me and let me manipulate you and get what I want, and you walk away feeling dirty and guilty. See, you know it's not a God kind of love when you don't walk away feeling better than you came. God's love is action-oriented. God's love is giving. God's love is kind. See, the world says that love is a feeling that comes and goes. But God's love is everlasting. God's love will never leave us. God's love always puts others first. God's love is not self-centered. Now, I believe as a pastor of a wonderful group of people, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that here coming on Friday is Valentine's Day. And for all the husbands in the room, I'm doing you a favor. Mark your calendars. But I'm a father. And I feel very responsible to this church. And for every young woman in here who is longing to have someone notice you on the day of Valentine's, I want to tell you there's a love that would lie to you. It would say, oh, I love you. I love you. honey, boys don't know what love is. Men know what love is. I will guarantee you there's no one from junior high to high school and mostly through college, there's no man in that group that really knows what love is. Take my word for it. Vet them. Investigate them. Look for the actions of love that look like God before you accept I love you from anyone. See, I'm a father now, but I used to be a young man. And there are things in my past that I'm ashamed of. That I would have used the word love to try to manipulate some young lady to give me what I wanted. See, and in that same vein today, church, there's all kinds of false love in the world. It has all different kind of labels. There's all kinds of a media campaign. There's a concerted effort of the enemy to deceive the world about what love really is. And here's what I want to tell you. Love would never use you for selfish gain. Love would put you first. Love would take care of your needs first. See, I've learned this some ways in the hard way in my own house. Putting your head in the sand and ignoring the barrage of the media culture, all the social media that's coming to your children. See, here's what religion will tell you. Pretend like it's not there and it won't touch you. I want to tell you there's all kinds of false narratives on social media trying to captivate the hearts and mind of our children and young people. They're telling them about all kinds of alternative lifestyles that's really love when it's not. It's false love. They're telling them that, they're even telling people you should practice sexuality with someone before you get married to see if you fit. Listen, church, that's foolishness. And I want you to understand something. It's not really my responsibility to teach your kids, it's yours. So, mom and dad, I want to empower you to bring up these topics at home. Fathers, you need to protect your children. But the best way that you can protect them is to have honest conversations with them about the reality of what is coming toward them. Not to scare them, not to frighten them, but to inform them and to help them see your father's heart toward them. Love and sexuality should not be a taboo topic in a Christian home. If you want your kids to walk in the way of the Lord, you need to bring it up and explain it to them God's way, because the world is explaining it to them the world's way. I'll leave it there. I could go on. I've learned the hard way. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. Look, God is love. You know, if you want to find a counterfeit, you know what? You know when they make $100 bills and $20 bills and $50 bills, and they have these people that are trained specifically to identify counterfeit money. Do you know that? Which I think would be kind of a cool job. But do you know how they train them? It would logically think to us on first look that you should show a counterfeit person, a person who's trying to identify counterfeit, all the different ways that people can counterfeit the authentic $100 bill. And so that they would be aware of all the different ways that it could be falsely made. But do you know that's not the way they train these guys? If you are trained to know what a counterfeit is, you never look at the false, you only look at the real. You become so familiar with the authentic that anything that is not real is obvious to you. So instead of me preaching a sermon on how bad the world is, I'm gonna tell you how good the Bible is. I'm gonna tell you how great our God is and how much his love is real and pure. So you need to focus on the authentic, and when the inauthentic false shows up, you go, that doesn't match my authentic, my word, my God, because my God is love. God's love is for everyone. God doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. God loves everyone equally. He's the only one who can do that. And then we can do that if we allow him to love through us. And you simply receive God's love by believing that it's possible for Jesus to have loved you in such a way that he took your penalty. See, you don't have to earn God's love. God's love is what a perfect father gives to his children. I want to read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, no qualifiers, anybody who's a human being walking this planet, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe in Jesus today, church? Oh man, I'm so grateful that as a child of 8 years old, Jesus introduced himself to me and I believed. From then until now, I've not doubted whether I was loved. I've not doubted whether I was accepted. Oh, you have those moments, but I'm telling you, over the span of my life for almost 40 full years now, I've known the love of the Father. What a beautiful thing. And now, once we know that love, church, we get to share it with other people. God's love is for everyone. Whoever would believe in Jesus can receive the love of God. Romans 5:8 says it this way: God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, here's what you got to understand that's so important. If you're not familiar with the Bible or God's character, sin cannot be present in God's realm. God and sin don't mix. So people were sinful. And so God wanted his children to be with him, so he had to do something about the sin. See, that word propitiate now becomes very, very important. Without the removal of the sin, I could not be reconnected to my Father in heaven. But because Jesus was the propitiation, he took the sin on him and then cast it away, never to be seen again. He expunged my record. Now I can be reunited with the love of the Father. Whew. Meditate on these things. You are reconnected with true love. He demonstrates his love towards them that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took away our sin. Verse 10 says, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In church, so many times we focus on the sin that needed to be taken away. Once you receive Christ, you should forget about sin and think about the life that Jesus gave you. Did you see that there? Listen, it says, having been reconciled, what was between me and Father? Sin. Sin got put on Jesus and taken out of the way. Nothing between me and Father. Father and Brad are now united. If you believe in Jesus, you can say the same thing. Now that sin is gone, now what should I focus on? Life. How many church members are still focused on sin? Do you know why we are? Because we don't understand what Jesus really did. We think, well, I'm still sinning all the time. If you believe a lie, then you will make a sinful choice, but you, my dear friend, as a believer in Christ, you are not a sinner. You're a saint who's still believing old ways of behaving. But your core is no longer sinful, or you couldn't have a relationship with God. You are free. Your record is expunged. Holy Ghost power. Anybody want to get your hands up and dance with me? Hallelujah. We're focused on the life, not the death. God is love. So what does love look like? Well, God is so kind that he gave us words in the scripture that help describe it so our mind can begin to engage with who he is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous, does not brag. It's not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account wrongs suffered. One translation says it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Husband, wife. Well, I know how you really are. I know what you really meant. How do you know that? Because you have kept a mental record of wrongs. Let it go. That's not love. That's something else. Selah. Meditate on these things. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So what does love look like? The fruits of the Spirit are the fruit of who God is. So I think these are a great picture of God's love. Love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. What does love look like? It's everything you've ever dreamed of. It's everything your soul desires. Kindness and harmony and a type of interactions with others that doesn't hold them guilty but sees them as free men and women. If you're going to step into God's love, you're going to have to wrestle a little bit with the way your mind works. And you're going to have to submit your natural thinking to the mind of Christ. But good news is this. The Bible says you've been given the mind of Christ. Do you know how easy Christianity is? It's so easy, a 5-year-old can comprehend it. You know what the problem with most Christians are? They came with a childlike faith, and then they tried to complicate it with their adult sophistication. There is nothing complicated about Jesus. He took sin away. You're a free person. You don't have to be ugly anymore. You can be kind. Boom. How is it that Christians complicate this thing? Well, it's because, listen, the Bible talks about it. You become a Christian, then you have the life of the Spirit and the life of the flesh. And the only way to step into this love is to crucify the flesh. It means you die to your selfishness. The problem may not be that we don't believe this, it's that we don't want to die to our selfishness. But if you die to your selfishness and just let God work through you, I'm telling you, it is a beautiful life. See, because God is perfect and God is good. He's a loving Father. He wants to give us good gifts. And I want you to understand, God is Father. Father is good. You may have had a bad experience with an earthly father, and I would ask you to set that aside for a minute and know that there's a perfect Heavenly Father in heaven who is present through the Holy Spirit, who wants to embrace you with the perfect love of the Father. And here's what a father would do. Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, like sinful fathers know this, how much more will your heavenly Father give, say it with me, good gifts to those who ask him? Can y'all recollect the last 5 weeks of this year? What have we been talking about? The good gifts that Father wants to give his children. I love the way Luke wrote almost this exact same thing. He just changed it just a little bit from his perspective. If imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit fullness when his children ask him? Can y'all remember the last 4 or 5 weeks here at Harvest? What have we been talking about? The Holy Spirit's fullness. Some of you have been listening. Some of you have been thinking. Some of you have been contemplating. I want to tell you today, if you could just receive God as a perfect Father and embrace his holy, self-sacrificing love, then you could be filled to the fullness. All the gifts, all the fruit, all of who God is could just be poured into you. Today is your day to receive the Spirit's fullness, because that's what Father God wants to give his children. He doesn't want to hold back one thing from you. He doesn't want to keep these special treasures for just a special few. He says anybody who would come with a childlike faith can receive everything I've got to give. Man, that makes me happy. That makes my heart full of joy. My Father wants to give me everything. Do you hear what Dr. Warren said in the offering? What's everything? Everything. Who owns this world? Who owns this universe and all the accompanying universes that are around us? God Almighty, who is my dad. And I'm worried about paying the rent next month? I don't think so. My dad owns everything, and he's given it to me. You go, well, my bank account doesn't reflect it. You only get it when you need it. Are we getting too much real for you now? Let's go back to theoretical, fluffy things. Philippians 4 says clearly, my God will supply all of my needs according to the riches that are in Christ Jesus. It's all mine. It says in Ephesians, I am a co-heir with Christ. If Christ owns everything and I'm an heir with him, guess what I own? Everything. Why? Because my dad is awesome and he loves me beyond what I deserve. He just gives me stuff. How many of y'all believe that? See, belief is the key. I've told you this for several weeks now. It doesn't matter what I believe, it matters what you believe. Is God love? Does he care for you? Will he give you what you need? Can you let go of the things of your past and embrace this beautiful, awesome future? Will you stand with me, church? God is love. Here's what I believe today. And I hope that you can sense this. I feel it in my heart. I sense it in the air. I believe God wants to overwhelm you with his perfect love today. Some of you came in bitter, angry, resentful, hurt, in pain. You may have physical needs. You may have financial needs. You may just feel totally disconnected from God. God wants to overwhelm you right where you are with his perfect love. Some of you need to receive healing, because we're talking about a heavenly father and this earthly father relationship really wounded you. But I want to tell you, heavenly father can heal you today. And if you're going to receive what the heavenly father has, you're going to have to receive healing from your wounds that came on this earth. And God is present to heal your heart today. I've seen him do it 1,000 times over. And then many of you, you've been waiting, you've been thinking, you've been contemplating. I want to tell you, today's your day. Come in just a minute and receive the Holy Spirit's fullness. Prayer team, come forward, please, right now. We're going to close. I'm going to pray. Becca's going to lead us in a song. And then it's your turn to respond in the way that you desire. There's opportunity right here at the front of this church. These people are prepared to agree with you in prayer. And I want you to have that opportunity. We will always provide prayer that's specific to your needs. So I want to invite you to come. I don't care if you came last week and the 10 weeks that preceded. If you need prayer today, we're here to pray for you. When I first came to Harvest, I bombarded the prayer team because I was super needy. I swear I came to prayer 20 weeks in a row. Might have been more. Do not let any of those things keep you from the fullness that God wants to give you today. God is love. Father, we thank you this morning that the fullness of your love is present and active here in this place and in our hearts. Lord, there's some that need to receive a mindset change. There's some that need to receive healing for a wounded heart. There's some that need to receive a miracle in their physical bodies. There's some, God, that have financial strains on their life. God, come and minister to every situation as only you can, Holy Spirit. We just say, be released, Spirit of the living God, to minister to your people here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's sing this song together. If you would like to receive prayer, please don't miss your opportunity.